The reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true, and every human being be a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim, that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Their condemnation is just.
Thank you, Gareth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you and praise you for your words. Thank you for your word that speaks so much to us. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. I thank you for what you placed on my heart to share. And Lord, I pray that as we hear your word, that we would put it into practice. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God's faithfulness. The story goes of a visit to Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. Rings of Japanese and German tourists surrounded the geyser. The video cameras trained like weapons on the famous hole in the ground. A large digital clock stood behind the spot, predicting 24 minutes to the next eruption. My wife and I passed the countdown in the dining room of the Old Faithful Inn, looking at the geyser. When the digital clock reached 1 minute, we, along with every other diner, left our seats and rushed to the windows to see the big, wet event. I noticed that immediately, as if on signal, crews of waiters descended on the tables, refilling water glasses and clearing away dirty dishes. When the geyser went off, we tourists oohed and aahed and clicked our cameras, and a few spontaneously applauded. But glancing back over my shoulder, I saw that not a single waiter, not even those who had finished their chores, looked out the huge windows. Old Faithful had grown entirely too familiar. It had lost its power to impress them. A few things are more taken for granted than God's faithfulness, but few things are more important. God's faithfulness deserves our untiring praise and wonder. That's a story by Philip Yancey, a Christian writer. And today, as the screen shows, I want to talk about God's faithfulness as we look at Romans 3, verses 1 to 8. I wonder, do you ever think on how amazing God's faithfulness is? And what the world would be like if he wasn't faithful? Imagine if we couldn't depend on God. I'm reminded of a verse in Isaiah 36, which talks about Israel's dependence on Egypt. And it says, look, I know you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it, such as Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. Imagine if our dependence on God was like that splintered reed, The broken cut our hand as we leaned on it. But for many, this is how they see God. They don't see him as faithful and dependable. Do you? Here in Romans 3, Paul talks about God's faithfulness and he says, what if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all, says Paul. In other words, Paul is saying, he's literally shouting it out, God is faithful. God is faithful no matter what. His faithfulness doesn't depend on whether we are faithful to him. He will always be faithful to us. In this passage, Paul is speaking primarily to Jews, the children of Israel, God's chosen people. God's faithfulness is shown to them throughout the Old Testament in the way that he never forsook them. He never left them alone. He loved them. He chose them. He shared his ways with them. And even when they disobeyed him, he said, repent, and I will protect you and restore you. Even during the captivity, when they went to Babylon, which came upon them because of their disobedience, God never left them. He remained faithful. Through Jeremiah chapter 9, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah chapter 9, he told them, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to it. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God is still being faithful even in this. Anti-Semitism, it's a good word, isn't it? Has once again hit the news this week with the Labour candidate for Rochdale in the Rochdale by-election having spoken out negatively about Israel and the Jews. But here, in this passage, here, Paul, going against what some might say, is not against the Jews. Last week, although I said that the Jews were telling the new believers that they had to follow the law and be circumcised, Paul also tells them how to be the best Jew by being one in their heart. But another way, Paul is actually saying, take all the rich heritage you have of being God's chosen people and follow him wholeheartedly with all your heart. And in that way, you will see who Jesus really is. The Son of God, the Savior of the world. Paul's practice on his missionary journeys was to first go into the synagogue and speak to the Jews. That was what he did. Every time he went into a town, he went to the synagogue and spoke to the Jews. The only reason that he went to the Gentiles was because the majority of the Jews rejected what he was saying about Jesus. They didn't want to know. Like those who brought Jesus to trial and shouted, crucify him, crucify him. They too felt threatened by any mention of Jesus, especially the idea that salvation only comes through him. But their lack of faith took nothing away from God being faithful. And our sometimes lack of faith takes nothing away from God being faithful. He doesn't change. He is, as Hebrews 13 says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In this Romans 3 passage, Paul continues to speak to the Jews. He says, being a Jew has its advantages because they have been entrusted with the very words of God. In other words, they've had the law. They've had the Ten Commandments, and they've had the prophets speaking to them, the very words of God. Israel was singled out as special. Even if they were lacking in faith, they were still special to God. As I was thinking about this, I thought about all the people I know who don't have faith. All those who don't see the importance of knowing God. They either choose not to believe or just don't see the point of why they should. Maybe it's because of upbringing, their upbringing or circumstances that happened to them, that they've been brought to this point where they say, no, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm glad you have faith, but it's not for me. But equally, in this as in this passage, God doesn't stop being faithful to them. And I believe that God is working in their lives. Sometimes it's behind the scenes, and sometimes it's blatantly in front of them. I remember how God was faithful to me long before I ever knew him. I was driving a car. In fact, I was foolishly racing with another car. And something ran across the road, and I braked sharply. And one tire gripped more than the other, and the car skidded and eventually flipped and rolled. And my car landed in a full hawthorn hedge. The roof was crushed, every window smashed, and I came out without a scratch. I thought, lucky me. But you know, it wasn't until I became a Christian, until I came to Christ, and I thought back, that I could see that his protection was over me. He was being faithful to me, working in my life before I had any faith in him. And I believe in the same way that God is being faithful to those yet to believe. Just as he was working in my life, he is working in their lives too. But now this Romans 3 passage moves on to something a little bit tricky as Paul continues to talk about God's faithfulness. It says in verse 5, but if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what should we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? Verse 7, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? You know, as I was thinking about that, I think, well, who was asking those questions? Where's this come from? And because Paul starts talking about the Jews, then it makes sense that it's the Jews who are saying this. But why? Maybe it's similar to something we were discussing in home group this last Thursday. I posed the question, how do you account for the attitude among some Christians who apparently think that it doesn't matter how they live as long as they are saved? How do you account for the attitude among some Christians who apparently think that it doesn't matter how they live as long as they're saved? It's like the idea that says we can do anything as long as we say sorry to God and then he will forgive us. Personally, I don't think that if you are in Christ, I mean really in Christ, you would have this attitude. I mean, consider the concept. Our unrighteousness, our falsehood, our sin, our untruthfulness makes God look good. Makes him look good. And if we are making God look good through all these bad things, why are we in the wrong? Firstly, God doesn't need us to make him look good. He is good without our help. We read this in some of the Psalms. I picked out Psalm 135, verse 3. It says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. And his mercy is over all that he has made. God doesn't need us to make him look good. He already is good. And secondly, God would prefer us to seek being obedient to him. And in that obedience, being faithful. I'm reminded of a story that Mark Hatfield tells of of touring in Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting the so-called House of Dying. It's the place where sick children are cared for in their last days, and the dispensary where the poor line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Watching Mother Teresa, the minister, to those people, feeding and nursing those left by others to die, Hatfield was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the suffering she and her co-workers faced daily. "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" he asked. To which Mother Teresa replied, "My dear Senator, I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful." You know, Mother Teresa had it so right. We are called to be faithful to God. I mean, He is faithful to us. So at what point should we not be faithful to Him? For me, the argument that Paul addresses in verses 5 to 8 seems somewhat like foolishness in the light of our calling to be faithful. If we are loving the Lord God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, we wouldn't be making excuses for our unrighteous behavior. We wouldn't be saying, "My bad behavior makes God look good." But we would be embracing God's faithfulness and praying. We'd be praying for Him to increase our own to Him. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, we get it wrong. In our hard-heartedness and stubbornness, we think we know what's right. But then we suddenly realize, just when it's a bit too late, that we have become like those waiters in that old faithful inn. As we've stopped looking out of the window and going, "Wow." We stop looking at God's faithfulness and going, "Wow." You see, other things can easily become our priority. So the question is, how do we become more faithful? God is faithful to us. How do we become more faithful to Him? Here are some simple suggestions. Number one, we could start by asking Him to make us strong and immovable in our faith. Strong and immovable in our faith. That's believing that He is who He said He is and what He has said, regardless of what trials and deceptions and challenges we might actually face. You know, believing in who He is and what He's actually said to us. Taking the words of Hebrews 13 verse 5 that says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And asking God to stamp them on our heart. Stamp those words on our heart. And number two, we can then ask God to focus our minds on things above. We do this by getting into the Word of God, reading it regularly, so that we can find out what pleases Him. You know, one of my favorite verses in the book of Romans has to be Romans 12 verse 2. It says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, focus your minds on things above as we get into the Word of God. And lastly, ask God to help you to choose what is right all the time. Yeah, so many times, even in one day, we can be faced with so many different decisions to make. I love those bands that you see saying WWJD. What would Jesus do? And to be faithful to God, we need to be asking that question as much as we can. And even when it hurts, choose to do what is right and pleasing to God. Friends, these are just the tip of the iceberg in how we are to be faithful to God. Paul says that we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Ephesians 6 verse 18. And I definitely agree that we should indeed cover everything, absolutely everything in prayer. God is faithful and He remains faithful. And we, like Mother Teresa was, are called to be faithful. So I encourage you today to pray with all your heart. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Faithful to you in all that I do. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you and praise you for this word about how wonderful your faithfulness is to us and how we are called to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to realize, Lord, that we have to trust in what you, in who you are and what you say. It doesn't matter what the trials that we go through, the challenges. Just trust in those words that says that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, focus our minds on what is above. As we read your word, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to always be asking, you know, thinking about what would you do in this situation? What would Jesus do in this situation? As our way of being faithful to you, just keep asking that. And Lord, to commit everything we do to you in prayer. Lord, asking you to help us to be faithful to you, even just a fraction of how much you are faithful to us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.